given. Search to earth and heaven. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Jesus alone can save. Number 8.
Christ the Savior of sin and pain in this world will save.
blessing. This boy here. Pardon?
50.
Number 50. Tell me the story of Jesus right in my heart everywhere. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus spake as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. I'm going to start that.
Tell me the story of Jesus.
before we sing another hymn, I just tell you something, girls and boys, that I did enjoy. You know, I guess maybe you know that I'm a dentist. And you know, I have to do work on little girls and boys, and it's not very much fun for them, is it? I know dear Brother Gordon Hayhoe is out, and I'm fixing his little girls' and boys' teeth. And they didn't like it very well. You know, dear Gordon wrote this verse out for them. When the dentist I must see, and he drills my cavity, may I learn to bear it all. Lord, for strength on thee I call. I'll do it all for Jesus. Do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus, for he's coming very soon. You know, this is good for every one of us. We all love dear Gordon, but I saw him on Lord's Day after. You know, he gave me another verse. He gave me another verse. He says, you know, Ray, that verse occupied us too much with our suffering. So he put this one out. And I've enjoyed it. I just love to sing it over and over again. Here it is. Oh, what sufferings thou didst bear on the cross, that I might share thy blessed home, from suffering free through a glad eternity. Oh, isn't that lovely, friend? Not lovely? Oh, what suffering that thou didst bear on the cross, that I might share thy blessed home, from suffering free. No toothache up there. No drills up there. Through a glad eternity. Oh, when I got that verse, I sang it over and over again. And I repeated it this morning. I couldn't help coming down the street but singing. Can I sing it to you? Oh, what suffering thou didst bear on the cross, that I might share thy blessed home, from suffering free through a glad eternity. Oh, friends, it's good to sing it over and over and over again. You'll never get tired of singing that, will you? Let me repeat it again. Oh, what suffering thou didst bear on the cross, that I might share thy blessed home, from suffering free through a glad eternity. Later on, I'd like to tell you a little story about a dear little girl in our little town that was saved after we talked to her a little bit about the sufferings of Christ. But maybe we'll have a hymn before that. One of the girls again now, this girl here. Pardon? Number 28. 28. Before we sing this, may I ask you, dear people in the back there, and I spoke the other day, I heard after that I'm inclined to let my voice go down, so if I don't speak loud enough, will you please tell me back in the back there? I'd be glad if you would. Number 28. Number 28.
Jesus bid us shine with the Yeah.
Do we put them all in one little spot, all the lights in one place? Is that the way we do it? How do we do it? Do we put one in one corner and one in another place? Is that the way we do? Isn't that what God does too? If God does that, maybe you're the only Christian in the school, are you? Maybe you are. You know what God wants to do? He put you there, what for? To let the other boys and girls see you shine for him. Did you know that? So he maybe put you there, and maybe he put me in our little town too. There's 1,200 people in the little town where I live. Well, isn't it nice that we can be a light in that town, right on our very street? So the people say, well, that man's a Christian, that girl's a Christian, that boy's a Christian. And we're here to shine for him. Now, is that a girl gave out that hymn? How about a boy this time? Pardon? All right. What one? 67. When mothers of Salem their children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and bade them depart. But Jesus saw them ere they fled and took them in his arms and said, suffer the children to come unto me. Who can tell me what Salem is? What town is Salem? Anybody know where Salem is? You know? Where's Salem? Pardon? Didn't quite get it. Pardon?
Oregon.
Well, I guess that's right. I don't know. But you know what this place is? This is Jerusalem. Jerusalem. That's what it is. It's Jerusalem. That's that place where the Lord Jesus was. And I guess you're right, too.
When mothers of Salem their children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and back to them depart. But Jesus saw them clearly fled and took them in his arms and said,
to ask you something that happened one time with a dear boy. This boy had come to Sunday school like you have, and he learned verses, but he forgot them too. You know, he and another boy were way up, long piece away from home in the bush, and this boy that was with him got very sick right in the bush. And then he got worse, and he found out he was not going to get better. And he turned to this boy and he said, "I'm going to die. Could you tell me how to get saved? Could you tell me how to get saved?" And that boy thought he thought, and he couldn't think of even one verse to tell his friend how to get saved. You know what he said after? He says, "I would have given my right hand if I could have given my friend one verse to tell him how to get saved, and yet I didn't have him. He died. And he asked me something, "Who here can give me one verse to tell him how a poor sinner can have their sins put away and be in heaven?" Can you tell us one? That's right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. It doesn't say believe about him. Lots of people in the little town where I live, they believe about him, but they don't believe in him. What does it mean to believe in him? Believe in or on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We might believe about him, that is, that he came into the world, that he was born in the manger, that he went 33 years and a half in this world, that he went to the cross, and he suffered, and he bled, and he died, and he rose again. All that you can know and yet go to hell. You can believe about him and yet go to hell. What does it mean to believe in him? In him. You know, let me tell you something. There was a boy in my chair one day, and I asked this young man, I said, "Can you tell me how I can be in heaven someday? How can you be in heaven someday?" You know what he said? He says, "Well, Dr. Dodd, if I pay my own debt, and if I don't do anything, any person, any bad thing, and if I watch myself, so forth, I think I'll be in heaven, all right. I'll take me to heaven." And I said, "Oh, I'm going to tell you something. You're believing in the wrong man. You're believing in that man there. It doesn't say anything in the Word Bible. You believe in yourself, does it? You're believing in the wrong man." I said, "It says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved." You know, I was thinking about speaking on a verse this morning, and as I came here, I just looked up, and there was a verse up there. See it? See that verse up there? "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That a lovely verse? You know, I can tell you something. I know a dear man. Right now, he's over in Hong Kong. You know what he told me one time? How old do you think he was when he got saved? He told me this. He was only 7 years old when he got saved. And his father was a bank manager. And his father preached to him. And this time, his father went to a little meeting in the school. And he asked the neighbors in, and you know, there was hardly any person at the meeting that night. And there the old man, he went home all discouraged, but he's walking down the road with his little boy and holding hands like this in the dark. And the dear man was thinking, "Oh, it's too bad. It would have gone to me tonight and hurt anybody else." He was discouraged. But as he walked along, the little boy, 7 years old, had to hold his father's hand like this. And here's what he was going through his mind. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You know what he said? He says, "Why, there's three things in that verse. Three things in that verse. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Just three things in it. He says, "I believe right now." He says, "The last one, thou shalt be saved. I have nothing to do with that. God does that. I can turn that one down. I have two left. Believe in my heart that God raised his son from the dead. He's up in heaven now. I believe that with all my heart. I can turn that one down. Just one last. Just one last. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus, Lord, thou shalt be saved. You know what he did? He squeezed his daddy's hand. He said, Daddy, I want to confess to you now that Jesus Christ is Lord. His father said, Son, you're saved. Son, you're saved. Isn't that good? And now can I tell you something that that dear man told us in our house one day, one night. Oh, we had a happy time one night. I can tell you, dear older people, this is one of the happy nights. We look back on it as a happy night. You know why? That night, dear Brother Willis, you'll know that's who I speak about. He was in our home when we had a bunch of children there. Oh, we had such a happy meeting. At 2:30 that morning, I got a phone call from Ottawa. And this brother says to me, he says, Dr. Dodd, is Mr. Willis to your place? Yeah. He says, tell him that his wife passed away tonight at 2 o'clock. Tell him that. Oh, Mr. Willis, what a happy meeting we had that night. Now I want to tell you something about one dear Chinese boy that he told us about how this dear boy was saved. This boy lived in an awful rags and ruin. He was awfully covered with sin. He was awfully dirty. He comes to a little meeting like this. Mr. Willis says, you know, he'd stamp his feet and he'd make all the noise he possibly could to disturb the other children. He wouldn't listen. Not at all. And he made an awful fuss. All the time, all the time. His name was Jimmy. And you know, as he sat there, Mr. Willis turned to him and all his fuss and all his doing. He said, Jimmy, how much is a girl worth in China? When they sell a little girl, they don't want a little girl that's born. How much is it worth? And Jimmy says, $200. And he says, Jimmy, how much is the boy worth? And Jimmy says, $500. Well, he says, Jimmy, I know somebody that wants to buy you. How much are you worth, Jimmy? How much are you worth, Jimmy? Are you worth $500? And you know what happened? Jimmy's head went down. He says, no, I'm not worth $500. Well, he says, Jimmy, would you be worth $400 to the Lord Jesus? Jimmy's head went down farther and he says, no, Mr. Willis, I'm not worth $400. And he said, well, Jimmy, would you be worth $300 to the Lord Jesus? No, Mr. Willis, not worth $300. And he went down to $100, down to $50, down to $25, and down to $10, and still he wasn't worth $10. Went down to $5, and still he wasn't worth $5. And you know, it's just a dirt floor, and all the time his head was going down further and further and further. He got right down to 50 cents. He still wasn't worth 50 cents. He says, but Jimmy, would you be worth 25 cents? Not worth 25 cents, Mr. Willis. And tears are pouring down his cheeks. And they're going down with the mud. And then he says, Mr. Jimmy, would you be worth 10 cents to the Lord Jesus? Jimmy says, no, Mr. Willis, not worth 10 cents. Jimmy, he says, but I know somebody wants to buy you. And you know how much he's paid for you, Jimmy? He's paid, he's given his life for you. He died on the cross to save you from hell, Jimmy. He wants to buy you. And he's paying for you. Would you come to him, Jimmy? And Jimmy, with his tears streaming down his cheeks, says, yes, Mr. Willis. Yes, Mr. Willis. And he took the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Oh, that dear boy. And now can I tell you, I was going to tell you about a little girl. I think others have heard me tell about this little girl. Tell me something, girls and boys. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, what time of the day was it? What time of the day was it? You know what time it was that they put him on the cross? What time? He was there for 6 hours, that's right. But you know what time of the day it was? You know, we were supposed to have the meeting this morning at 9:30, but the time that the Lord Jesus went on the cross was exactly 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, just when you're getting into school. Just when you're going into school, that's when they nailed the Lord Jesus on the cross. at 9 o'clock in the morning. And you know, he was there till 12 o'clock noon, and all those 3 hours, they spit in his face, and he'd already had all the lash on his back. And you know, he'd been over to Herod, he'd been off in front of Pilate, and you know, I love a lovely verse. You know, it says, Pilate says like this, Pilate says, I don't find any fault in him at all. And yet he says, he delivered him up, he gave him up to be crucified. And you know, you and I would look at Pilate and say, oh, Pilate, what a wicked man you were. Did you really tell everybody that he wasn't fit to die, he had nothing wrong with him at all, and then you delivered him and you gave him up to be to die? You and I could point to Pilate, oh, Pilate, what a bad man you are. You know what it says in Romans 8? It says these words, God delivered him up for us all. God delivered him up for us all. You know what little word us? How many people does it take to make an us? Who can tell me that? How many people in the word us? At least two, aren't there? You know, here they are. I'm one of those two. Are you the other one? Would you like to be the other one? Would you like to be the other one? He's lifting them up for us all. But you know, I was telling the girls, boys in our home, a little class like this, I was telling them, there's a little Chinese girl there. And we told them this, at 12 o'clock noon, he suffered all that. Did he turn then and turn around, boys and girls, say, well, I can't take any more. Did God say you can't touch my son anymore? That's the end of it. You've done enough. I'm going to take him down from the cross. No, God, you can do that. You know what he did? Here's what God did. At 12 o'clock noon, he just darkened the whole earth. And then, you know what he did? I'll tell you what he did. He just took all my sins off me like this. And he laid them on the head of the Lord Jesus like that. And then, instead of punishing me and sending me to hell, he put all the punishment on the Lord Jesus Christ until the Lord Jesus said these words, it is finished. And just as God, the Lord Jesus says, or God says this, I have no punishment left for one person who put their trust in the Lord Jesus, gave it all to Christ. You know, I said like this to the girls and boys, let me tell you, that was all for you. 3 hours in the cross with the hands of God, awful suffering, oh, what he bore there for a thing, oh, what suffering thou didst bear on the cross, that I might share thy blessed home and suffering free. You know, I said to the girls and boys, tell me something. Have you ever thanked him yet? Have you ever thanked him yet for that? You know, a little girl came back the next Thursday night, and she just touched me on the side of the leg like this. Little Annie Wong, her name was. And she says, Dr. Dodds, I said, what is it, Annie? She says, last Thursday night, I went home, and I thanked the Lord Jesus for dying for me on the cross. And I've thanked him every night since. Every night since. And you know, another girl told me something. I was thinking about that hymn that we sang there, Jesus Bids Us Shine. Little Annie doesn't live in our town anymore. But another girl said these words to me. I thought they were good. She says, Dr. Dodds, you can be sure that Annie Wong is a Christian. You should see how nicely she behaves at school. Isn't that nice? Wasn't that nice coming from another girl? A poor little girl just in our seat says, Dr. Dodds, you can be sure that Annie Wong is a Christian. You should see her acting at school, shining for the Lord Jesus. Oh, how good these things are, friends. And now let me tell you know what we need here, friends, this world? You and I need to do what this verse does up here. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You know, may I tell you about a dear girl one time? This girl has heard these very same things that you're hearing today. Her father was a Christian, her mother was a Christian, her brothers and sisters are Christians, and yet she was not yet saved. Wasn't saved yet. And we had a little talk with her. You know, I turned to her at our table, she's having a meal, and I said, is it long since you were saved? And you know what she said to me? She says, I'll have to tell you, I'm not saved at all. Not saved at all. And so we get a little talk later on. And she says, I've heard every one of those verses you're telling me. Just every one of them. I know every one of them. And I said, you're not saved, Eleanor. No. And I said, I can tell you one thing you've never done, Eleanor. And you've got to do it someday. to the Father. I am Eleanor to the day coming that your tongue has got to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've got to do it someday, Eleanor. That's what you haven't done yet. Yes, if you don't have to do it today, but I said, Eleanor, if you're willing, why not put out your hand and take a hold of my hand and say, Dr. Dodds is a poor sinner, I'm going to take the Lord Jesus my Savior. You don't have to do it, Eleanor. She waved her ball and put out her hand. Dr. Dodds, I'm going to confess to Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, how good. Boys, have you ever done it yet? Have you ever told your father and mother that you have taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Won't you do that? Do it sometime. Won't you do it? Do it today and know what it is to have your sins put away on the cross of Calvary. That's what it is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, may I tell you about something else that made our hearts rejoice in our little town? Dear brothers, way down in the south is at our home this time. I went down to the office before breakfast, I got a lovely letter. And I just said, dear brother, read this. I just opened it and read it. You know, I'll tell you something. I was working on this dear lady's little girl for quite a while, and I was giving her a class to read while she's sitting in the waiting room waiting. And after I come out, I said, Mrs. Savage, how do you like that little paper you read? She says, very nice, Dr. Dodd. I said, maybe you're already a Christian. She said, no, I'm not. There's only one thing hinders me. I said, what's hindering you? She says, I just love the dance hall. I just love the dance hall. I don't think if I was a Christian, I could go to that dance hall anymore. Be happy there. Well, I said, so you're counting the cost, Mrs. Savage, are you? Are you counting the cost? I guess I am. Well, I said, Mrs. Savage, don't forget to count all the costs. Don't forget to count it all. You're thinking about that dance hall. But I ask you, Mrs. Savage, will you be in heaven without Christ? No, I guess I won't. I want to tell you, you may have your dance hall in this world, but it's just in this world you'll have your dance hall. But I want to tell you, Mrs. Savage, you'll never be in heaven without Christ. You'll never be in heaven without Christ. Is that right? Yes, it is. Well, we talked. For near a month, I was working on a little girl, and you know, I said to her one time, Mrs. Savage, oh, I hope the day will come when you'll put out your hand and say, Dr. Dodds, I'm going to take the Lord Jesus my Savior. And I finished her work, and about a month after, I got a lovely little business letter that came to me. I called her attention about it, something was on her neck, and she said, better look after that. So she went to the hospital, and she wrote me these words from the hospital. Dr. Dodds, I'm in the hospital. I've had an operation, and she says, I want you to come and see me if you're up this way. But she said, I want to tell you something. Now I can take you by the hand and say, I've taken the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Oh, it's good to go. I have this letter to that brother who stayed our place, and as soon as he read it, tears came down his cheeks, friends. There's a dear soul. I just put you down. Confess with her mouth the Lord Jesus. She had counted the cost. Oh boy, did he count the cost. What will it cost you if you don't take the Lord Jesus your Savior? It'll cost you what? Your eternity in hell. Your eternity in hell. Oh boys and girls, take the Lord Jesus your Savior. And you know, there's a lovely verse, I think it's John 6:47, isn't it? Whosoever believeth in me hath everlasting life. I think that's the way it reads. Isn't that lovely? He that believeth in me hath everlasting life. You know, Mr. Willis told us this story too. I thought it was lovely. A dear boy by the name of Jeffrey. This dear boy, Mr. Willis, in that internment camp, he talked to the boys and girls like this. And you know, after he's done, he says, the boys didn't seem to pay any attention at all. No interest, they didn't seem to be just looking around at all. And he said like this, oh, if there's any of you boys and girls got to be saved, this is how to be saved. And you know, he says, over leaning against a tree was a young man about 18 years old, Jackie. And there he was leaning up against a tree like this and listening. And you know, he spoke, he wasn't even in the class. He says, if any one of you wants to get saved, I do, Mr. Willis. I want to get saved. So Mr. Toll, we'll just go over and open up this verse. He that believeth in the Lord in me hath everlasting life. And dear Jeffrey, what do you do? He says, Mr. Willis, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there he was saved. And then he hath everlasting life. And so, sometime after that, you can read that in the book, but Mr. Willis told you about these things. Because later on one night, he said, you know, very often some person would get sick and they have to go to the hospital. But this night, something, there's a little noise outside their compound, or where they were staying. And in the morning, Mr. Willis says, what was going on last night? He did not know. They took dear Jeffrey to the hospital last night. Jeffrey was sick. And Mr. Wilson seemed disappointed. Jeffrey died. And you know, later on, I think it's about a month after he was saved, that this took place. But the dear mother came to Mr. Willis after and said, Mr. Willis, can you tell me something? What happened to Jeffrey? For a whole month before he died, he was a different boy altogether. He was happy, wasn't afraid to die. What happened, Mr. Willis? Mr. Willis says, maybe this is what it was. Maybe this is what it was. Well, he says, there's something different. I don't know what it was, but there's something happened. So Mr. Willis says, here's what it was. He that believeth in me hath everlasting life. Now that mother, what did she do? She says, well, if it makes Jeffrey happy, then I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ too. So she took the Lord as her Savior. And then she said, Mr. Willis, would you make that text for me? I want that text. So Mr. Willis copied it out and put it in her home. Got it in her home. And then I think the father was saved too. And after he came back, he went home, saw that little home, and there was the text right up there. He that believeth in thee hath everlasting life. Oh, for earthly boys, have you ever done it? And just before we close, it's time to close, I think. I'm going to say one thing too. You know, in Ottawa, not long ago, an awful thing happened. You know what happened? Here's what happened. They built a great big building there to keep old people in. It's a Catholic place. And you know what happened? There's a jet plane 33,000 feet up in the air. Something took place. And that jet plane just crashed right in the center. And 15 people were killed just like that. Just like that. And you and I, people turn around and say, what were they doing? What was going on there, down there? That God had to have that. You know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, thinkest thou that they were sinners above every man? No, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The people around our town are pointing their fingers saying, they must have been awful bad to have God do that. Except ye repent, shall all likewise perish. What does it mean to repent, boys and girls? It just means this. Oh, if I may make it simple for you, you must repent. The Lord said so. It's just like this, if I may make it simple. Quoting God, we're standing here, and you are there. And God says like this, you're a sinner, and if I punish you for your sins, I'll have to send you to hell. You know what you and I should do? Let me make it simple. You and I should get up from where we're sitting and walk over to God and say, you're right. I'm going to take sides with you against myself. That's what it is to repent. And then God will say, oh, that's true, but I love you. Here's what I've done for you. Instead of sending you to hell, I've taken all your sins off you and laid them on my son. Now, will you take him as your Savior? And you say, yes. And you're saved. Take the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you're saved. Now from your habit of him, I think it's kind of global, isn't it? Just one hymn. Just a small short hymn, yeah. 63, did you say? Oh, that's a nice hymn. Number 63. What can one have in
I knew quite a few years. He got to be 88 years old. He always wore a white beard. And you know, when he was dying, he had this verse read to him. I come at thy command. I give my spirit to thy hand. And in my Savior's blood alone, I look for mercy at thy throne. Dear old Brother Dunlop had those words read to him just before he passed away, and he preached for over 50-some years passing through this country. A dear old man, dear old devoted Christian man, but he didn't depend on his good life, his preaching, nor anything else to be in glory. In my Savior's blood alone, I look for mercy at thy throne.